Now, from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and Ryan O'Halloran.
Hey, welcome in. Welcome in, everybody. It is a Metro Rooter Wednesday here on the program Jaguars Today on the air until noon today. Before we give way to midday chalk, you heard some of the comments of Dante Fowler Jr. Tony and I had a chance to sit down with him in studio for the first time yesterday, Tony.
Yeah, that praise was unsolicited.
It was, right? We were going for kind of a joke. Look at, wow, you go out there in the heat.
Didn't even angle for it.
Right, you have to lift weights, push people around. We have to deal with the power tools going on above our heads. So we were just kidding with him, and he rolled with it. But I think it did show you he had a good personality, and we've seen it a little bit on display before, but you and I haven't spent that extended period of time with him before. And
no.
Ryan, as we talked this morning, he seems like a guy, you know, maybe he's a little bit of a young kid who needs to grow up in some ways. Who didn't at that age? But seems like he's got his heart in the right place. And I think if he has any kind of success on the field, he's the kind of player that the fans are really going to gravitate to.
Big time. And because you just, when you're out on the practice field watching these guys, he just stands out. And because of the speed, athleticism, if he can sack the quarterback, that gets the fans going. You're going to see a lot of 56 jerseys. But you're right. It's like I talked for maybe 2 minutes on Monday. I hadn't caught up with him since OTA started. And, you know, he said every day he feels like he's playing faster and faster. The key thing for me is he gets it in terms of, okay, if I need 2 minutes, that's all I'm going to need. You know, he's going to give me something to work with.
And right.
So we talked about, yeah, I think one of the most pleasant developments is that he hasn't sat out an OTA. Beforehand, the Jaguars are saying, well, we'll watch him for a couple of days.
Manage him two on, one off, one on, one off, something like that.
Yeah, and so far he's been eight on.
Yeah.
I think that's a very, very big positive.
They're doing it very intelligently, I think, Tony. He's continuing to wear that knee brace, even though he thinks, you know, if push came to shove, he doesn't really have to have it.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you wear it at this time of the year, though?
Yeah,
right?
There's no reason not to not be cautious at this point in time. If you're Dante Fowler, and I think it is really positive for this team that he hasn't had to take a day off, then he's been as explosive as he has been out there on the practice field. That certainly is why they brought him in. And it's nice to hear that they may have a guy that athletically, at least, can be a different type of player at that position, which they just haven't had. Chris Clemons, Andre Branch, they just didn't bring that kind of level of intensity and that kind of level of athlete to that position. Branch always looked the part, but never played the part. And it feels like Dante is a guy who looks and plays that part right now. Can he translate that to making it work on the field on Sundays? We'll find out soon.
Yeah, we'll find out, but I'm encouraged, you know, and he wouldn't put a statistical goal, you know, says he doesn't really set the statistical goals, but Ryan, he's a confident guy. I'm sure you've picked up on that from him as well. He doesn't think he's going to necessarily have to ease himself into the National Football League. I don't get the sense that he thinks, you know, 4 or 5 sacks, which is a typical rookie season for a lot of high-profile pass rushers, is going to be what he has to accept in year one.
Yeah, and if they can be close to effective stopping the run, he's going to have more chances to rush the quarterback. And I think the scheme is going to help that position more. Is rarely did you see a outside blitzer on the same side as that position that Fowler's going to play. So, you know, it's, you know, one thing that Todd Washington, they're going to try and create some matchups for him. And so it's not like they're building the defense around him, but they're trying to find every way to give him an advantage.
Yeah, and by the way, the one guy he singled out was Yannick Ngakoue yesterday. We haven't seen Jalen Ramsey and Miles Jack out there, so he doesn't have anything. He's the highest drafted player from this year's class, but he has, in Fowler's eyes, really stood out so far.
He needs to be good right away. Yes, he's a third-round pick, but the way the roster is made up, when they drafted him, they basically said, you're our second weak side end.
Right.
And that means he better produce right away. And so
because that snaps every game. Those are big snaps every game.
I mean, you look at their first third down on week one. If things go right, it's going to be Ngakoue and Fowler at the ends, I think. Definitely Fowler. Then inside Jackson and Mark. So unique is – you can't, if you're him, you couldn't ask for a better situation to come into.
No, and so far it looks like he's taken advantage of it from some of the anecdotal evidence we've gotten from the practice field. You know what? Neither one of those guys is on the bubble with this roster, but some guys are. Ryan O'Halloran wrote about it in the Florida Times Union. We'll look at his list of candidates and kind of discuss those as we go along today. Nathaniel Hackett, Jaguars quarterbacks coach. We don't hear from him very often on the program. He spoke after practice yesterday, so we'll bring you his insights into how this offense is coming along here in OTAs week three. A little bit from Blake Bortles, a little bit from Devon House as well. We'll take you up to Indianapolis. Derek Schultz does local radio up there. We've had him on many times talking about the Colts. That's the Jags week four opponent. We keep knocking one down in the order that they appear on the schedule week after week after week, and today is the Colts. Does that mean we take a bye next week, Tony? I think we'll plow through and go right into week five. What do you think?
I think we probably will.
Well, we'll see. You know what? You can do that when I'm on vacation. How about that? After minicamp. That'll be a post-minicamp kind of thing going on. It is a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Glad you're along with us. If you want to be part of the program today, there are a number of ways to do it. You can answer the question of the day, which is a simple poll question, straight answer, one or the other. And we went back to the Jags' inaugural draft under Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley. Luke Jokel, Jonathan Cyprien, the first two selections for the Jaguars that year. Which one starts more games for the Jags this year? Luke Jokel, we don't even know what position he's going to play. Jonathan Cyprien has been a disappointment in his first 3 years in Jacksonville. Can he hold off James Sample for that job? And even if he starts the season, will he continue to start if he doesn't improve in his play? So who do you think starts more games for this football team in 2016, Luke Jokel or Jonathan Cyprien? A simple one-click vote is all that's required on Twitter. At MD_1010XL is where you'll find the Twitter poll. And, of course, tweet at 1010XL, Fat Tony, at Ryan O'Halloran if you want to get involved with the program as well. 641-1010 on the phone lines and the text line driven by Duval Ford and the Jaguars today. Facebook page is open for business. We'll step aside here for the first time today. Derek Schultz talking Colts on the other side. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, Fat Tony with you. It's Jaguars today on a Metro Rooter Wednesday on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, when last we left the Indianapolis Colts, they were taking the beating from the Jaguars, 51-16, what should have been a successful season sweep of the dreaded horseshoe, but for lack of a field goal accuracy situation in game one. Derek Schultz, Fox Sports 97.5 in Indy, will join us here momentarily. We'll talk about what the Colts have coming back, which includes, obviously, Andrew Luck. 2-5 as a starter last year, Ryan, and there, you know, there's a lot of debate. he was a Gus. He wasn't even rising to the level of Gus Bradley solid last year. Let's be honest, he really wasn't. But you know, the debate in some circles this all season has been, you know, how the players ranked Andrew Luck, how he's fallen. I think GMs, decision makers around the league, they're starting a franchise, Andrew Luck would still be one of the very first selections, if not literally the first guy picked because of his age and the importance of the position. We shouldn't pretend that this guy, I think we shouldn't pretend that this guy all of a sudden forgot how to play football.
Yeah, and so many of these quarterbacks in the league have a speed bump year where they're injured. Tom Brady had one. You know, Drew Brees was banged up 1 year with a shoulder. So, you know, I throw last year out for Luck because his track record's been so good. Also in Luck's favor is T.Y. Hilton, Philip Dorsett, Dante Moncrief. They re-signed Dwayne Allen, let Fleener go. So offensively, I think they're going to be fine. They drafted Ryan Kelly to start at center. That was a good move. So problem is, are they going to be able to stop anybody?
Yeah, Ryan Kelly was proclaimed as the surefire top center in the draft, and I don't doubt that he was, but that offensive line has been, to say a work in progress is being kind in the Andrew Luck era, and, that's part of the issue with him. He takes a lot of hits. He stands in the pocket. That's why he ended up getting hurt last year, and, he takes a lot of shots, opens himself up to even more with the style of play that he plays.
And that's one thing that Luck has talked about this offseason is he has the discretion is the better part of valor. He's got to learn how to run out of bounds, how to throw it away. And the first step to fixing that is admitting it. You remember Blake Bortles said the same thing last year. He did better in that regard.
Right.
So it's surprising that it took an injury for Luck to realize that, because he was getting hit a lot the first couple of years in the league when they were winning games. So best offensive player in the division is Andrew Luck. And, you know, they Andre Johnson didn't work out last year, but they still have, Hilton and Dorsett. But like you're saying, Can they run it? You know, Frank Gore, what does he have left in the tank? After that, they just have a bunch of unproven guys.
Yeah, look, they don't have much on that depth chart behind Frank Gore either, Tony. But the eyeball test to me, I watched several Colts games last year. I thought Frank Gore still looked okay.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that I think he's 33 years old now. It just, the blocking, no commitment to the run game, no steady threat.
The starting quarterback was out.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Teams could really play to kind of, you know, stack the box a little bit against Frank Gore at
and
times.
if you look at Andrew Luck last year statistically, what he wound up doing, he was 15-12, touchdown to interception through seven games that he played in. He didn't finish all seven of those games, but played in seven, 15-12. He was on pace for 35 touchdowns. Does that sound familiar? That's supposed to be a down year for Andrew Luck, was on pace to throw 35 touchdowns. Now, the interceptions were way up for Andrew Luck, but 35 touchdowns still was the pace he was on.
All right, let's welcome in Derek Schultz, Fox Sports 97.5 in Indianapolis. Just got off the air up there. Good morning, Derek. How are you?
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for coming on. Hey, first question, why does Andrew Luck stink all of a sudden?
Yeah, you know, we're trying to figure that out as well. I do think that, in a way, he's going to have to go out here and prove that he's healthy and really reprove himself all over again. But if you flash back to 12 months ago, and I know it seems like a long time ago, the Colts were on the Super Bowl hype train and everybody was picking them and everything looked great and Luck was going to be MVP and he was going to have a breakout year. And then he played nine games, mostly injury-riddled games, was not effective at all. And now suddenly the Colts are going to be the last place team in the AFC South. So it's amazing how quickly things change in the span of a year. But I do think that his health is obviously a big question mark, because we just don't know how healthy he is and what all he had to deal with last year. We know about the lacerated kidney. We know about the abdominal tear. But the Colts never really confirmed the shoulder injury or the cracked ribs that he may have suffered in week one against Buffalo. So there's a lot of unknown as we get into what'll be, what, year four now for Andrew Luck as an NFL quarterback.
One of Luck's main targets early in his career was Dwayne Allen, the tight end. He had eight touchdowns in 2014, 45 catches in 2012. Those numbers dipped big time. 16 catches, one touchdown, yet they re-signed him. How much of a priority do you think it's going to get Dwayne Allen back involved?
Well, they're going to have to, because 35 targets is what he had last year, and that's just not enough. 35 targets is not enough. Now, part of that is on Allen, because he hasn't had any major injuries outside of the one that cost him basically his entire 2014 season, but he's had nagging injuries basically his entire career. So he needs to be on the field and be healthy in order to be productive in this offense. But now, especially with Fleener out of the equation, they really need him to step up and become a pass-catching threat for him. I think they ended up choosing to retain Allen instead of Fleener because Allen can do a lot of things well. He's not great or elite in any one area, but he can block, he can catch, he can do basically anything that you ask him to do, whereas Fleener was just more of a pass-catching threat and sort of a one-trick pony there. But Allen is a huge key for this offense moving forward with the loss of Fleener, and just for the sense that they invested in him because they're paying him to be a number one tight end and to be a pass-catching threat, and he's going to have to be healthy and do that for them on the field.
Derek, you mentioned that these Colts were one of the Super Bowl favorites in the AFC going into the season last year. A lot of high expectations. Are you surprised that there hasn't been more fallout in Indianapolis with the way the last season unfolded?
Fallout as in Chuck Pagano losing his job and things
like
that?
Any of that, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think there was a lot of surprise here that Chuck Pagano seemed to be dead man walking for 3.5 months, and then suddenly Jim Irsay had a complete about face and decided to bring him back. Same for Ryan Grigson, who's been under fire here from a lot of fans for not acquiring the necessary personnel around Andrew Luck to make this team a realistic Super Bowl threat. So, yeah, absolutely. They're surprised that there wasn't more fallout, but they did essentially let go of their entire coaching staff. Outside of Pagano, they've got a new defensive coordinator in Ted Monachino, who they brought in over from Baltimore. Greg Minuski, who took over for Pep Hamilton, who got canned last year, is now the full-time offensive coordinator. So with that comes kind of a new scheme. So there has been some change. There just hasn't been change at the top with Chuck Pagano as the head coach and Ryan Grigson as the general manager.
Derek Schultz here with us, Fox Sports 97.5 in Indianapolis. There's been a perception, I think an accurate one for the most part, Derek, that you know, good quarterbacks, we know, make offensive lines look better than they are. Andrew Luck, I don't think, has had good protection in his run in Indianapolis. We know they added Ryan Kelly to the mix, but how good is that starting five? How much better can they be than last year?
Well, they can't be any worse, right? I mean, at least you hope not. because they were really bad last year. And this has been – the offensive line's been the bugaboo really for the entire Luck career since they drafted him number one overall in 2012. So this is nothing new. But they really like what they have in Ryan Kelly. They think he's the guy that they can – plug in right away from day one and to be a starter. He's taken all of the first team reps so far in OTAs for the Colts and into the mini camp this week. So he is projected to be their starter right away at center. So that solves a big problem for them. It's really the interior of the line that's been an issue. They've moved around Jack Muhort from tackle to guard and back and forth. Anthony Costanzo basically has stayed at left tackle. But on the inside with Hugh Thornton, there's been some uncertainty about where they were going to go. So they think they have a starter and a guy that's going to lock down the position at center in Ryan Kelly. So they're hopeful that, moving forward, that's going to be an improvement in and of itself. But it's still very much a work in progress with how they're going to make the other pieces work along the offensive line.
This Colts defense on paper, you look at the starters, very few homegrown players. They've had to patch it together with veterans and trades, et cetera. It doesn't look like they're going to be very good. What are some reasons why you think they can make some stops during the course of the game this year?
Yeah, you know, I appreciate you being nice about it. Really, let's face it, guys.
Hey.
The defense is dog crap, right? I mean, it's bad. It's a bad defense. Not only are they bad, guys, they're old.
Yeah.
Robert Mathis is old. Trent Cole is old. Even Eric Walden, who's been one of their better linebackers, is 31 at this point. Arthur Jones has barely played since they gave him that mega deal from Baltimore up on the front of the defensive line. Kendall Langford was a nice surprise for them last year, a free agent signee who played really well. Vontae Davis is a great player. They added Patrick Robinson at cornerback, who probably is going to be an upgrade over Greg Toler. So there are some individual pieces and guys that are capable football players that they have, but the defense as a whole, this is going to be a team that is going to be solely reliant on the offense being a very good to elite unit for them to be able to really win games and win the division and get to the playoffs, which is obviously where they want to be. But this defense is their handicap and really their Achilles heel.
How many young guys are going to get the opportunity on defense? You look at, they addressed some of that in the draft, T.J. Green in the second round. They're at safety, Antonio Morrison, the linebacker out of Florida. A lot of people around here know that name very well there to play inside linebacker. How many young guys are going to be in the mix?
Well, the young guys I think that they're really going to be relying on are the draft picks from last year. Clayton Gethers is going to take over at safety with the departure of Dwight Lowry. They really liked him last year. Henry Anderson, before he got hurt, was terrific. He was a fantastic defensive rookie for them last year on the line. David Perry out of Stanford did a great job for them, too. So those are three guys from the 2015 draft class who they're going to rely on pretty heavily. As far as T.J. Green, he's viewed more as being a long-term project. Even though he was a second-round pick, he has a lot of speed and athleticism, but there's still a lot of polish, according to the coaches, that they need to get him going in order to rely on him as an NFL player and as a safety or corner, depending on where they end up putting him, because he can kind of project at either of those spots. And as far as Morrison goes, they like what they've seen so far from him as well. Maybe he factors in, but not a guy that's going to be a day one starter or anything like that. But Gethers, Perry, and Anderson, three of their rookies from last year's class, are all going to be starters. And really, the three few young components on this defensive unit, which, like I said, guys, is getting very old.
What's more likely, Derek, that this team gets it back together if Luck stays healthy and they win 11 or 12 games, in which they won 11 games each of his first three seasons, or it goes the other way and they have like a 6-10 type season because there are just too many holes on that roster?
Yeah, you know, I don't really think that if I, you know, gun to my head, I would say 6-10 because I don't think 12 wins is likely for this team. They've just got way too many holes and things to kind of address, and they're going to be working back up to where they were. But I don't think that with a healthy Andrew Luck, and that's a big if, there's any reason why this team can't be where they were last year, if not slightly better. This was an 8-8 team last year without Luck really playing well at all. I mean, they were, I think, 2-5 in his starts, and they made it work with Matt Hasselbeck, who, geez, nearly died at the end of the season. It felt like he was in a traction suit, you know, after every single game, and had food poisoning and everything that he went through, and they were able to make it work. So you would think that the Colts would be able to be a 7-8-9 team with a healthy Andrew Luck. But you guys know down there in Jacksonville, the division is getting better. the Jaguars are kind of the hot, sexy team now. Some people picking them to be a dark horse 9 or 10 win team. I think Houston is still the favorite in the division. Tennessee's not going to be any worse than they were, but they still have a long way to go. So the division is taking steps forward as well. So I think that factors into the outlook for the Colts. Whereas in the past couple of years, in 2013 and 14, the division was so bad, you thought to yourself, okay, 6 easy wins. So all you have to really do is go, 4-6 against the rest of the league, and you're a 10-win team. Boom, you're the division winner, and you're in the playoffs.
Colts making their first trip over to London when they play the Jaguars, but unlike those other teams, they're going to play the next week. What have Pagano and Gregson said about their reasoning for not taking that bye when it was offered to them?
They said that they didn't want to have the bye that early. The bye week, I don't have the schedule in front of me, guys,
week
but
four?
I think it's week four. Okay.
Is the game, yeah.
So week four is the game, so week five would have been the bye, and they didn't want to have the bye that early. And instead, they ended up with the bye, I think, in week 10, which is right in smack dab in the middle of the season, and that's the reasoning that they gave for not wanting to take that bye. But it'll be interesting to see because, if I'm not mistaken, I don't think any team has ever done that where they've gone to London and then not had a bye the next week. So we'll see what kind of effect it has on them.
We will find out. Schulte, if you got to pick it, who's winning the AFC South this year? If you got to pick on June 8th.
I still think Houston, even though they have question marks themselves, and I don't really know what they're going to get out of Osweiler. But I'm kind of looking at it as Houston being like a 9-ish win team, the Colts and Jaguars being 7 or 8 win teams, and Tennessee being like a 5 win team. So I think it's just one of those divisions that there isn't a true contender, 12-13 win kind of a team, or maybe even a double-digit win team, but a more balanced, competitive division that has more good teams, and that's what we'll see this year.
Hey, listen, we appreciate the time this morning, as always. Keep the prospect of another 50-burger open. The Jags would like to comply with that. They'd like to help you out. Good to talk to you, as always, man. Well, I'm sure we'll catch up down the road.
Sounds good, fellas. Thanks.
Thank you, buddy. Derek Schulte from Fox Sports 97.5 up in Indianapolis. And you cannot argue that that guy is a homer when it comes to the team that he covers. Let's face it, they're dog crap. That is what he had to say about the Colts defense.
I was trying to massage it there.
And I thought he was kidding because I thought you were like, hey, they're just bad. Yeah. He's like, hey, you're being nice. And I thought he was being sarcastic at first, but no, he was serious about that. That was a little bit too high praise, just saying that they were not going to be that good. There you go. Look at the Jags week 4 opponent. Coming up, the Indianapolis Colts will wrap up the first month of the season on the Jaguars schedule. Who does Ryan O'Halloran think on the roster bubble for the Jacksonville Jaguars? We'll discuss that coming up in a moment. Also, take your calls if you'd like to get on board at 641-1010. Text us at the same number on the text line, driven by Duval Ford. With Fat Tony and Ryan O'Halloran, it's Jaguars Today on a Metro Rooter Wednesday here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
When I came here, this is what I envisioned, that we would get better, we'll build within the draft. I really can't wait till we get Miles out here, when we get Jalen healthy. It's going to be scary.
Now, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Hide your children. Jaguars defense is coming. Devon House yesterday talking about seeing some improvement with the athleticism on defense, and who doesn't want to see the full complement? You want to see those top two guys out there, Ryan. So from that standpoint, watching OTAs, it's like the thing you probably almost most want to see. Maybe you want to see Gibson and some of these, free agents as well. And obviously, anytime Blake's throwing the football, you want to make sure the quarterback looks good. But those top two draft picks are something that you kind of want to get your eyeballs on. And Miles Jack will be here next week, so I don't think they'll go crazy with him, but it'll be interesting to see how they initially try to work him in.
Yeah, I had that written down. I mean, maybe they'll wean him in a little bit. He's eligible to start working with them, June 10th or 11th, so I'm sure they'll have him in here over the weekend. Ease him in, test his conditioning a little bit. My guess is they'll put him in the middle with probably the second group, and then work him into some nickel stuff when they run that in practice.
All right, question on the text line, driven by Duval Ford. Why does everyone love Houston? Is it because the division is bad? What has Brock ever done to make anyone think he's something special? Jags sweep Houston this year. Matt, sign Matt. It doesn't need to be special to be an upgrade over what they had, right? Mm-hmm. They had bad quarterback play.
Yeah, and this is not a great division, so you don't need a all-pro quarterback play to win it. But you look at this comparison, the Jaguars feel they've upgraded at free safety with Tayshaun Gibson to steady that position. I use the same comparison with Houston, is if Osweiler can just be steady and start every game and find DeAndre Hopkins 10 times a game, then they're going to be better. The game I watched of Osweiler, he beat the Patriots in overtime. He plays a pretty good in the snow, so he has some experience. He's not just this neophyte.
You go 5-2? Was he 5-2 as a starter?
So. Yeah.
Something like that, right?
So I would pick Houston mostly because they are without a doubt the best defense in the division.
More established. I think the Jags defense has a lot of potential. I really do. I don't want to get crazy. You got to see them play together a little bit. But when you're talking about Malik Jackson, who I had a Denver Post guy on, I did a show on NFL radio last night, and Troy Rank just almost bemoaned the fact that he's irreplaceable in Denver's defense and really talked about all the things that he brought to the table and didn't think he was a product of Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware. Just really went on about it. You had him, you had Gibson, you had Jack, you had Ramsey. You get hopefully a healthy Cedric Marks back. I know I'm missing somebody in that mix somewhere. There's another potential new star. Oh, Dante Fowler Jr.
Yeah.
There you go. Another new starter on that
look,
defense.
I think
always forget him, by the way.
Yeah, if you look at the division, the most...
Isn't that crazy,
yeah.
Right?
But the most known quantity in the division is the Houston Texans defense
right.
is going to be good. Like, when you just look at the offensive and defensive units, it's the Jaguars' offense looks like it should be pretty good. It was good last year. Can they take that next step going into another season with all these young guys together? The defense looks like it's added a lot of pieces, but there's a lot of questions for the Jaguars when it comes to that. There's questions about the Colts. I mean, Schultz just said their defense is dog crap. And how good are they really going to be with Andrew Luck? Can they go back to being an 11-win team if Jacksonville and Tennessee and Houston have been catching up during that time, too? I'm not sure that they can. It feels like we're to the point now where Indianapolis is going to start losing divisional games. And if they had been doing that when Andrew Luck was winning 11 games a year, then they're an 8-9 win team
sure.
every year.
And look, I think based on the way they played last year, the Jacksonville was the better team when they went head-to-head with the Colts. I didn't
yeah.
feel that way about the Texans, and the results show that, 31-20, 30-6. So while the Jags may have improved more than the Texans, they had ground to make up. So look, nobody loves Houston. We're just trying to call it like we
yeah,
see it.
I mean, you have to pick somebody.
Right.
You can't just say, I abstain.
I hope the Jags go 6-0 in the division. I don't think it's likely that they do. But I think it's possible you could sweep the Titans. I think it's possible you can sweep the Colts. It's possible you can sweep the Texans. I wouldn't predict it. I think the Jags could go 5-1 in the division. That's on the high end of things, if everything kind of goes right. That doesn't mean I expect that to happen. Let's take a look at some of these guys you have on the roster bubble for the Jacksonville Jaguars. First, let me go with some that I think I totally agree with. Josh Evans, I think Caldwell loves him. Tony and I talked to Dave Caldwell about Josh Evans. He loves him as a guy and as a football player, just a man's man kind of football player who'll do anything, but he's limited, right? Uh-huh. And now you've got finally that guy at the top of the depth chart at free safety that pushes everybody else down a peg.
Yeah, I mean, the running joke is that Josh Evans has had a voodoo doll of whoever the guy in front of him was all these years. You know, Dwight Lowry gets a concussion, out for the year. Winston guy stinks, gets cut. Sergio Brown, god-awful, gets benched. You know, Evans has just hung around and started all those games. But the addition of Gibson, which you knew they were going to get a free safety, so they get him. But the real key is then they decided to move Peyton Thompson to
yep.
free safety. He can play multiple positions. That affects the roster math. But so that's why I put Josh on the bubble.
All right, Tony, Demetrius McCray, Dwayne Grotz, both these guys on the roster bubble, who's more likely to stick for the Jacksonville Jaguars?
My guess would be McCray would be more likely to stick. I just feel like the string's kind of been played out with Grotz. They moved him around to a couple different spots last year on the defense, and he couldn't stay on the field for him last year despite the fact that they were dealing with kind of a depleted cornerback group. I think they're both gone, honestly, in my estimation, but more likely to stick would be McCray.
I think one of them has a good chance to be on the roster, at least to begin the season with the suspension of Colvin. Ryan, I think your point about Grotz, them moving him inside to play the slot, if Ramsey, they feel, is not ready to do that, it could be a circumstance where just based on what they have and Colvin not being there, he may be the safest option they feel early in the season.
Yeah, and I think the numbers are running out on McCray. He's had his chances. They like Nick Marshall. if Nick proves he can cover even a little bit in the preseason and they feel like he's worth keeping, I think they'll do that. As far as Grotz, moving him inside, they need to find a nickel for those first four games. It already is pointing toward they don't like a Mukamara in there as much as they feel he's comfortable outside. The key would be Ramsey. Gus threw that out there a couple weeks ago that they already started teaching that to him. You know, if you want your best 11 on the field, he would be inside. But I think Grotz could make it early on because they need depth.
You got Tyson Alualu on there. And it's
that's going to be an interesting one.
Just a product of how deep they seem to be, at least on paper. I mean, we keep saying talking about this Jaguar defensive line group like they've accomplished something, which they really haven't as a group together. But you see the potential that's there. And you're thinking with Alualu, it could come down to a numbers game.
Yeah, and you look at their depth chart right now, Odrick is the first, he's the starting strong side end. But after that, it's Tyson. And if you cut Alualu, who else is there?
Who would be the guy if Odrick were to miss a month?
I think maybe Jackson.
You could play him there, and you could play some Derek inside.
So you would, okay, but if Jared is healthy, he doesn't play every snap, nor should he. Who else do you move into that spot on certain downs? Maybe they're thinking that Malik could go out there a little bit for some regular work just to take advantage of some of his skills. So Tyson is a big camp for him because the decision the Jaguars are going to have to make is if it's a tie, do you go with the guy who is 24, 25, or the guy who is entering his seventh season?
Right. So
he could run into a game there where they go with the younger guy.
Albeit, I mean, the thing you got to like about Alualu is he shows up every week, right?
Hasn't missed a game.
He's available every week, and that goes a long way. I think he's a liked player in the locker room. So my guess is Alualu is on this roster opening day, but that's why he's on the bubble, right? It's no sure thing with any of these guys.
Of the six I said, if I had to rank him most likely to make the team, I mean, Alualu would be first.
Corey Grant, Tony, provides that long speed that the Jags haven't had in a lot of positions in recent years. They're starting to develop more explosiveness at other positions. Is his kick return ability, is that the key in your eyes to him making this football team?
As much as kick returns mean in the league right now, I guess. And he certainly is an explosive guy from that speed perspective. Got opportunities last year early on in the season before he got hurt and the memorable play with the fumble in Tampa. That really turned the tide of that game for bad for the Jaguars for the rest of that game. But, look, they don't have anyone else in the running back corps that can do what Corey Grant can do. And I think that gives them an opportunity. I don't know how big that opportunity is really going to be in the end when we know what 1 and 2 on the depth chart look like. Do they like Denard enough that they decide to stick with that as opposed to bringing in a guy who can be, here's really our change of pace guy in Corey Grant. I think it's an interesting decision.
How many change of pace touches do you have when you have Chris Ivory and TJ Yeldon?
Not many.
And these receivers and Julius Thomas, a tight end. I mean, how many times do you want to take the ball out of that group's hands? Ron, you're, I don't want to say convinced, I want to put words in your mouth. How would you characterize the team's view of Denard Robinson?
They love him. You know, they don't think he's an every down guy, but they still feel that there's a role for him. And one of the things to consider about the kick return spot is going to be interesting to see in the preseason. With the new touchback rule out to the 25, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, our team's going to try and kick it in play.
Kick it down in between the 10 and the goal line,
So does that bring more worth for a guy like Corey Grant to this roster?
And then finally, Tyler Shatley, do not let Jeff Wagaman hear that, all right? Because he will tell you he is a strong as an ox kind of guy.
I'm sure he is. He just hasn't played, and they brought in guys who have played more
veterans,
than
veterans, right, that you feel like you can rely on. Look, again, it's not that – they're stacked at the offensive line, but it is going to be a little bit of a numbers game because they have brought in so many veterans who've been around the league, kind of, you know, middle of the pack type guys that let's be frank, you know, I pointed out Tyler Shatley was as good as some think he is. Why didn't he get on the field last year? There were opportunities.
Yeah, and I put him in the story because I wanted only returning players, because if I put Linkenbach on the bubble, what does that mean? He just got here. So they signed Bernadou, they signed Linkenbach, they signed the guy last week. They moved Linder over to center, so it's almost like they've sort of moved on from him.
All right, well, check out Ryan's article. It goes in more in-depth than we just discussed right here at jacksonville.com/sports in the digital pages of the Florida Times-Union or whenever you pick up your ink-stained copy. All right, there you have it. A look at the Jags, who could be on the bubble. Coming up, we've got the state in football, the Honda drive around the NFL still to come. Jaguars quarterback coach Nathaniel Hackett. We'll hear from him and a lot more. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Ryan O'Halloran on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you all week long by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. We told you earlier this week, actually it might have been late last week, Tony, about the NFL and the AFL agreeing to merge in 1966 on that date. A few days later, on this particular date, June the 8th, they announced their plans to become officially the NFC and the AFC, and that they would have a joint single schedule, two conferences with crossover games. That happened on this date in 1969. Born on this date, some significant birthdays. 1917, one of the most successful players post-NFL career, Byron Whizzer White. You know, he only played 3 years in the National Football League, led the NFL in rushing two of those three seasons. Ryan went on to become, of course, a U.S. Deputy Attorney General and a Supreme Court Justice, the 12th longest-running Supreme Court Justice in history. He was
42 years.
Was it 42? Is that how many years? I don't know. I wasn't going to ask you, but he was replaced eventually by Ruth Bader Ginsburg. He passed away in 2002. Byron Whizzer White. Born in 1917 on this date. Herb Adderley, born on this date in 1939. Hall of Fame defensive back for the Packers, Cowboys, five-time Pro Bowler, four-time first-team All-Pro, and a Hall of Fame inductee in 1980. Herb Adderley is 77 years old today. Troy Vincent, born on this date in 1971, a five-time Pro Bowler. Troy Vincent is a former president of the NFLPA and currently the NFL Executive Vice President of football operations. And how about the most important birthday of all on this date? 27 years young, Tony Smith, born in 1989. Happy birthday, Kelvin Beachum.
Hey!
Of your Jacksonville Jaguars. You thought it was
Pat
Tony?
I thought you were saying it was Tony.
No, no. I was including him in my revelry.
It's July.
Right there. That's all I was doing.
31 years for Whizzer White.
31 years on the Supreme Court. There you go. You're in the kind of the ballpark there. It's a long stretch. John Kennedy put him in the position. The state in football brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. They're located on Gate Parkway. You know, if you're in the market for a family dentist, if you need some cosmetic work done, maybe you want the SomnaMed custom fit mouth guard to help you stop snoring. 620-9225 is the number to call. 620-9225. Visit jamesjmccall.com to get a complete list of comprehensive care services. That was this date in football history.
Now the Honda drive around the NFL. Brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Did you have to look that number up, or are you just like a Supreme Court of file?
I had to look that number up.
Yes, okay. Guessed 42 the first time. I'm guessing he had to look it up.
You know how, like, when you're doing that, you're sort of
I'll throw a little trivia.
You're basically saying guess.
Yes, so I guess. You're right.
So it's a good guess.
Strong guess.
Not bad. The NFL had its Twitter feed hacked yesterday. The hacker, if you don't already know by now, posted a tweet announcing the death of NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell. Goodell laughed it off using his own personal Twitter account, saying, quote, "Man, you leave the office for one day of golf with Jim Kelly, and your own network kills you off." Hashtag
apparently the
harsh.
League is now a network.
Yeah.
There's only one hacker.
Stop it.
New England Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski wasn't on the field for the team's mandatory minicamp this week. No need to panic, fantasy fans. Gronk has been at all of the voluntary workouts this offseason and is reportedly dealing with an undisclosed minor injury. And given his injury history and importance to the team and level of mastery he already has with the team's offense, it's understandable if they want to take it easy with him during, as Jaguars defensive coordinator Todd Walsh called it at one point, gym class in the offseason. So he should be fine for training camp. San Francisco quarterback Colin Kaepernick has finally been cleared for on-field workouts, but he will be limited to just the team's individual drills during minicamp this week. Blaine Gabbert continues to get the starter reps for the 49ers. And the NFL is looking into the Aqib Talib shooting, but they aren't the only ones. Talib could be in trouble with the state of Texas as well. The police in Texas investigating the shooting now. Talib could face up to 4 charges, depending on the results of that investigation. In Texas, as of January 1st of this year, a person must have a license to carry a gun. It's unclear whether or not he did. If you carry an unlicensed gun into an establishment that sells alcohol, that is a Class 3 felony. It is a Class A misdemeanor to possess a weapon while intoxicated, even if it is licensed. And it is a Class B misdemeanor to discharge a weapon in public. Even with the license for the weapon, Talib could be charged with 2 of those 4 counts. and could potentially face all four, though there's no evidence yet that he was intoxicated at the time of the incident or if he was shot at or shot himself at the time.
I thought he said he was too drunk to remember who shot him.
I don't know.
That would seem to be evidence of him being intoxicated. If he
was
said
blacked
he,
out, apparently.
It's like It's Always Sunny with Charlie when he thought he'd get off the hook by saying he was drunk. And then he had to do more community service.
It could be.
Like, is
right.
it one of the, I don't remember. I was drunk.
I was drunk. If you really want to look into the Aqib Talib shooting, you have to start with the hole in his thigh and then progress down to his calf. Think about it. If you're carrying the gun somewhere in your hip there, good chance if it accidentally goes off, it goes through your thigh
Seems
into your
an
calf.
Unlikely angle for someone to shoot you.
Hey,
at.
Let me come up behind you, Tony, and shoot straight down and see if that does anything for you. What does it say about the popularity or lack thereof of the commissioner of the National Football League that someone hacks the league's account and the first thing they do is proclaim Roger Goodell dead?
Yeah, I mean, like, instead of every ticket this year is free.
Right, right. Yeah. 2-for-1 tickets to whatever. I mean, beer
buy
concessions.
Buy one, get three beers.
You know, it could be anything.
It's
Roger
gotta be
Goodell,
a Pats fan, right?
Brady's suspension lifted.
Right, exactly. Right. Breaking news. Right. Well, if it were a Pats fan, you probably would have had something like that. That might have been.
Or Tom Brady has been cleared of all Deflategate charges.
Would Patriot fans, in their heart of hearts, in their evil heart of hearts, and we all have one, would they prefer that Tom Brady were not suspended at all this year, or that he would serve a 4-game suspension and Roger Goodell actually were to die? Which would they prefer? I honestly think that it would a higher percentage of people would vote for the death with the 4-game suspension than Gary Johnson's going to get in the presidential election.
At least online.
That's what
people
I'm
are savages online.
Online, it might be 70%. Right? It may be 70%. Online. Are we having issues with the stream again? People tweet at me to fix the stream like I'm the mechanic around here or something, the engineer. I don't have any control over the stream. So we appreciate you giving us the heads up if we're having issues on that. Jordan DeArmond is the engineer at the station, and she has gone into the bowels of the building
to
check out some wires, cut the red wire.
I know
Jordan.
We briefly had this discussion last night at the beginning of my show, Crosstalk, with Helmets and Heels, because they did a question based on the whole Goodell thing. If you could hack like one athlete, one league, one team's account, who would you hack and what would you post? And
well, you go into a guy who doesn't tweet a lot. Like for me, it'd be Tiger.
Okay.
Yeah. What would you post?
And what would you post?
These are all the girls.
Right, just make a list.
The Denny's waitress.
Make a list.
If there's like no way that it could be traced back to even Jacksonville, even I would probably hack the Titans and just post as many pictures of as I could, remarking about failure and showing them a picture yard short of winning a Super Bowl.
Wouldn't you just go with pictures of random mayonnaise jars?
No,
something like that.
Because
no.
I think the yard short in the Super Bowl hurts them more.
How about who was it? It was Kevin Dyson, right? Was the guy who got tackled a yard short?
Yeah.
Was it Mike Jones was the linebacker for the Rams? Kevin Dyson covered in mayo. What about that? Something like that.
I bet if you asked Jags fans who they would want to hack, it'd probably be number one target would be Jason LaCanfora.
Good bet. And honestly, do you really need to hack it? Because Chaps will just make a fake account that'll fool anybody anyway.
I think Chaps
anyway.
Said he retired from the fake tweet game.
Did he?
We'll
I think
find
he's retired.
Out.
Oh, come on.
I'm
going to
get
setup.
Him in. One of these days while you're out, I'm going to get him in.
Is he coming in? Because I'm going to be gone the whole time he's in town. He's in town in like June 22nd through the 26th or something. So if you're stalking Chaps, now you have
we'll get to the bottom of it.
Good time frame.
It was funny. Like Ian Rappaport at one point actually responded to the Chaps. And it's like, since you send out all my fake news anyway, it's like he's not paying attention to Chaps and the things that he does with all these fake stories and accounts and that kind of stuff. And look, it's the prank call of the 21st century. Only instead of just one person on the other end of the phone, there's thousands of potential dopes out there to pick up the line and say, "Oh, really?" and then retweet it like it's real news. I mean, it's fantastic.
Well, you know how Chaps got his start, right? It was the Alex Smith signing in Kansas City. He basically tweeted out, "Oh, Alex Smith is going to sign with Kansas City for this number and this amount." And he pretty much guessed it, and he had all the details right. So Ian Rappaport was like, how is Chaps getting – who's Chaps' sources?
Who are his sources? He must know some agents or something like that. So it's just taken off from there. Hack Brady's Twitter on the text line, quote, "Yeah, I did it." You know, and add a "so what?" and then just maybe a photo of Giselle on her good day. I still think Giselle goes both ways on the looks. One day good, one day it's like the Two-Face on Seinfeld. I'm telling you. You guys ever do prank calls when you were younger? You ever call people?
Oh yeah,
I used to do that back when you're like connected to the cord to the wall and yeah. I just dial random numbers when I was a kid and just be like, hey, you know, is Joe there? I don't know. And I thought that was the funniest thing in the world. It wasn't,
done it.
As it turns out.
Yeah.
Me and my friends took it a step farther. We used to prank call C-SPAN, the TV station.
Oh, really? To try to get on TV?
Oh,
did they have a delay?
No delay. C-SPAN will let anybody on. So you could say, oh, you know, yada, 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 and my junk's huge, you know, at the very end of your
right,
sentence.
But when does C-SPAN have live programming to talk about the size of one's junk?
I saw something.
I assume you're talking about the stuff in your garage.
They had like an 8-hour block covering primary coverage last night. And there was just
Okay.
Yeah, there's like a number of Republicans call this, Democrats call this, and others call this. And if there's no delay on it, like there used to be an auction channel here in town that was on the radio. And you could call. They didn't have a delay on that either. And I had a friend of mine in the car with me once call, and he was asking about something they had there. And then he ended it with, no, Grandma, don't set yourself on fire, and then hung up the phone. And it's the people on the other end, they don't know what to do with it. They're like, oh, we have a prankster there, a prankster.
Don't know how he got through. Yeah, if you want a good 5 minutes of belly laughs, go to YouTube and type in C-SPAN prank calls, and it is so funny.
Nice. All right, I got something to do this weekend to fill the time, the downtime before training camp rolls around. One more on the text line here, Ryan. It said, Mike, will you ask Ryan?
Mike.
If Mackenzie Bernardo and Tyler Shatley are both healthy, and if they're both competing for the left guard spot, who does he think will be the starter in week one? You got to throw Luke Joeckel in the conversation there as well, at least conversation.
Right now, there is no competition, as Bernardo is taking every left guard rep.
But what is Joeckel doing right now? Basically,
he's 100% left tackle. He hasn't worked at guard one snap.
But is that a case of they don't know? I mean, I'm just trying to think of what their motives can be for that, right? If you don't know when Beecham's going to be fully healthy, you can't just move Luke Joeckel to guard, right?
Correct.
All right, so
like
you what do you think? You think that if Joeckel had a good shot to start at guard, that he'd be splitting time?
If that was even in the back of their mind, he would be there regularly now.
Okay, I've heard that it is in their mind, but
well, if that's the case, then they really don't know what they're doing, because this is the time to experiment, and they're not, you know. So
I got you. No, I do. And look, for me, if you were to ask me before we heard this, you know, it's secondhand information, by the way, but from a guy I know who had a source that he trusted. That said, that the plan is for Luke Joeckel to be. So I'm not saying it's like Gus Bradley has whispered in our ear, hey, this is what's going to happen. Because prior to hearing that, I look at Luke Joeckel and I see a guard. So I'm with you on that. Who's the opening day starting left guard?
Bernardo. Yeah. And if Beecham can walk and chew gum at the same time, he's your left tackle.
There you have it. Happy birthday, Kelvin Beecham. Hope you're working on the gum chewing right now. And we know, despite the brace on the knee, he can still walk at this point in time. All right. Somebody would always call the auction channel, but they would block your numbers very quickly.
Yeah, you can only get away with it once.
One good bid, and then you're out. All right.
But they had no delay. No delay is dangerous.
Coming back, Nathaniel Hackett, Jaguars quarterbacks coach. We'll hear what he had to say following Jaguar OTA practice number, what would that have been, 8 yesterday, I believe it was.
Yep.
Jags off today. They've got the Jaguar Foundation golf tournament going on out in Ponte Vedra. They'll be back on the practice field tomorrow, and most of us think that Friday practice will be wiped out, and mini camp will come up next week. Then a break. Until training camp, so hope you're making your plans to be out there next Tuesday and Wednesday to watch the Jags on the practice field. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, Ryan O'Halloran here with you on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, I got a few little items to take care of before we get to Nathaniel Hackett, Jaguars quarterbacks coach. Get to hear from him. I guess he'll probably talk about Blake Bortles, I would imagine, a little bit.
Maybe a little.
In his commentary. Thanks to Josh Wappen at B-Town to Jax, as he gave us photographic evidence that the stream is alive and well, as he's got that thing streaming through his smart TV it appears to me. So there you have it. Thank you, Josh. And our engineer slash mechanic, as I refer to her, Jordan DeArmon. She'll fix your car, man, in between updates. She confirms that the stream is working well, AM, FM, it's all there, ZM, all the M's. Duval Doom says, yes, 1 yard short in the Super Bowl, but Dyson is holding Mayo instead of the ball. That's the Photoshop we now need.
It's kind of like the Titans version of the crying Jordan, except you just throw Mayo instead of the football.
The crying Mayo.
It's like the crying Mayo.
It is. Just re-extending. You can just see him extending. Oh, it'd be great.
The jar, yeah.
The jar.
It'd be beautiful.
You hang it out there. Doesn't matter what brand it is. It'd be better, don't you think, if it's the Titans, if it's some off-brand, right? They can't afford Hellmann's up there, can they? They can't afford shoes. Well, I think that's a personal choice.
Just the Kroger brand of mayonnaise.
Right, Kroger Mayo.
Yeah.
Right, something like that, exactly. Sam Walton Mayo, something like that. That would be good. So please, Jaguar Twitter, get with the Photoshop. And we will highlight your work on the Jaguars Today Facebook page. We'll be so proud of you. We'll retweet you all over the darn place. Ryan, let's get into it. What do you think of Nathaniel Hackett?
I like Nate a lot. He had a great – when he was walking off the podium, he goes, man, that was different. I'm usually used to this talking to you.
Yeah.
So like people saw that he's really enthusiastic, has a lot of insight, and you know, he's been around the game his entire life because of his father.
Good chemistry with Bortles, obviously. Yeah. And you got to have that, don't you, if you're going to work that closely with the quarterback?
And that was important because, you know, Blake and Jed Fish didn't see eye to eye on some things, but Blake was really tight with Frank Selfo, who was the quarterback coach in 2014. So it's important to have the chemistry between quarterback coach, and offensive coordinator, and it seems like they have that.
Let's get to what Nathaniel Hackett had to say. Yesterday, talk about Blake Bortles. We've talked about that hurry-up offense. Really, over the last couple of years, why don't they use it more? It seems like that's the trend where they're trying to go a little bit more with this offense. And Hackett talked about Blake executing in the hurry-up.
Yeah, I think anytime you use the hurry-up, it's always fun. It's always exciting. Puts pressure on defense. And it's always good for a young quarterback to have to do that kind of stuff, to have to react to changes, react to situations, and think faster. So anytime you could simulate that, it's always good.
Is he more ready to do that?
He's more ready to do everything. I mean, you're going from year one to two. I mean, it's night and day. So I think everything is how many ways can you stimulate him and how many ways can you push him every day?
Yeah.
I think they're going to – I mean, I thought they should have done it a little bit last year because they were the worst team in the first quarter. Right now, what this team does best is move the football. So do that and see if you think your improved defense can make things happen with a lead.
Right or wrong, Tony, I think part of the feeling was, hey, if you don't pick up the first down, you're throwing that defense, which is subpar, right back on the field, right?
Yeah. I mean, we talked about it a lot last year as to why they the reasons they should and the reasons they shouldn't, and it was they counteracted each other so much that apparently the team decided it just wasn't something they were going to do a ton of, especially early on in football games. Maybe that changes this year with some improvement on the defensive side of the ball. Hackett, speaking after practice yesterday, also talked about Blake Bortles and noticed that he has increased his pre-snap knowledge.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, just even the questions that he asks are way more advanced than they were last year. I mean, just the things that he wants to know, the checks he wants to be able to make, the protection calls he wants to make, everything is much more advanced, which is exciting because it allows you to kind of push him a little bit harder, but at the same time, bring him back to his original fundamentals.
All right, you know, so you would expect that, though, right? All these things, you know, mental improvement on every level as you go along, particularly second year in Greg Olsen's offense.
Yeah, and as much as they've said that they're going to curtail some of the stuff, is you can add situations. And one of the things Nate said was, is you keep on challenging him in the second year so they can maybe be more nitpicky.
Here's what Hackett had to say when asked about where Blake Bortles has improved the most.
You know, one of his biggest goals was kind of not only the knowledge of the plays, because last year I think it was a lot more you would call a play and it was just kind of, oh, what am I doing? I think now it's that play, but now that play within the defense and why we wanted to call that play, why Coach Olsen put it in, what was Coach Olsen looking for? So I think that that's where his advancement has gone now, is that when a play comes in, he's way more knowledgeable on why that play was called and what we're trying to accomplish. And I think that's where you want to get as a quarterback advances in his career.
Wait, one of the things that I was talking to Chad Henne about a couple weeks ago about Blake's second year is he'll be more apt to be able to get in and out of a play. If he gets to the line, the play is called, he knows what the options are, he can audible check out of it. whereas last year maybe he's a little hesitant and a negative play would result.
I'm sorry, I'm just grinning over Apocalyptic Mike.
Yeah, I retweeted
at KingM91.
Yeah, I already retweeted too.
I actually played with the helmets. I'm sure everything you said was very insightful right there, Ryan, but I was overwhelmed by the mayo. Apologies. You like that? We need the off-brand, though.
Yeah.
Helmets is
way
too
classy. We do need the off-brand. Look, I will say last year when we talked to a bunch of the guys on the offensive side of the ball, Blake Bortles included, and about the differences with changing the offensive coordinator, and one of the words that came up a lot was why. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these guys were starting to understand the why of what the Jaguars were trying to do on offense, and it feels like when you get into year two of this, you're getting that even more, and there's more knowledge of why you're doing what you're doing and what you think that can accomplish. And I think that's important for Blake and the rest of these guys on the offense to buy in to what they're trying to do on the offensive side of the ball. And Nathaniel Hackett speaking after practice yesterday, transitioning over to talk about the backup quarterback. They re-signed Chad Henne this offseason. He talked about the importance of that.
Very. Chad's the best. I mean, just he's another coach out there. I mean, at the same time, he's a great player. I mean, he's just a great guy to be around. I mean, it's funny to be in a room with the four guys that we have now, even having Max Wittick in there. I mean, it's a great room. It's really fun to coach those guys.
And a couple more from Nathaniel Hackett here as we wrap up this segment. He talked about Monty Kiffin being around the building, and this guy's got just a crazy wealth of football knowledge. And I would think, Ryan, the offensive guys and the defensive guys would think, oh, they're off doing their thing, they're off doing their thing. How much sitting down and brainstorming and saying, Monty Kiffin, you've designed so many great defenses, stopped so many high-powered offenses, you have all this institutional knowledge. Help me get better on the offensive side of the ball through your eyes.
Greg Olson has said that. They were together in Tampa, and Nate Hack was on that staff too. Greg said that when they were both coordinators, they would talk about certain things during the off season. They would have dinner together because they both live near each other in Tampa. And like Greg Olson said to me a couple weeks ago, he goes, this is how respected Monty Kiffin is. Basically, a defense was named after him.
Yeah.
The Tampa 2.
That's right.
So he's able to bounce around and provide opinions to everybody.
And here's what Hackett had to say about currently having Monty Kiffin around the building.
I was lucky enough to be with Coach Kiff my first stint in the NFL at Tampa, and that was an experience, and this one is also. He's awesome to have around. I mean, you're pretty much walking around with an encyclopedia of knowledge. I think he's probably forgotten more football than I know. He's awesome. He's just great. His office is right next to mine, and filled with energy. Sometimes I can't believe it. I'm like, where did he come from? You're always hearing him, too. He's got that high voice.
One last comment here from Jaguars quarterback coach Nathaniel Hackett. Talked about the training camp goals that they're setting for their quarterback, Blake Bortles.
I think it's you can't get bored with success. You can't sit there and say, okay, we've made it. He's made it. You have to sit there and say it's ground zero every time. It's how many times can you do it? Some people say you have to do something 10,000 times to be an expert, to be great at something. I mean, and that to me is throwing that specific route to that specific player one time to your right versus that coverage. So the statistics and the numbers increase dramatically. So he has a long, long, long ways to go. I mean, from every route, from every concept, from every defense, from every single thing he's got to see. So I think it's just continuous and never-ending self-improvement. I mean, that's what he's got to be.
Let's hear a couple from Blake Bortles before we move on here as well, as he spoke yesterday. And anytime the quarterback speaks, it's noteworthy. He was asked, right now, with the defensive talent getting better, are you starting to see maybe some tighter windows? We understand it's not a full contact situation yet, but are you noticing the improved coverage from the new players on defense?
Definitely. You know, Gibson, kind of specifically can cover a lot of ground and does a good job. And we were talking about it on the way out here this morning, you know, how much tighter the windows have gotten with him back there playing center field because he can move.
Yeah, you would hope that that's what's happening defensively for this team because they need those windows to tighten up a little bit. Blake Bortles also commented on a guy we've been talking about since OTAs opened up, that is wide receiver Marquise Lee.
I think just staying healthy has been the biggest part for him. He's had, you know, kind of a rough time over the past couple of years. He's just staying on the field. You know, everybody knows how talented he is. You just got to keep him on the field. And he's done a good job. He's taking care of his body more. He's doing better. He's figured it out. So hopefully he can stay healthy and continue to grow and get better.
I mean, it's been another big week for Lee. Allen Robinson's been off to the side. Allen Hurns not really doing a lot in teamwork. So Marquise is getting a lot of reps.
All right, a couple more here from Blake Bortles. And, you know, Marquise getting reps and holding up is a great thing as well. Brandon Linder, we haven't harped on that relationship, the snapper to quarterback relationship. I don't think it's that complicated, but Blake talked about working with Linder now as his center.
Really good, really good. He's he's worked really hard to pick it up. You know, he had a really good understanding of it at guard, and it's kind of different, I guess. You know, really playing guard, you just got to worry about the two guys next to you, whereas now he's got to worry about all five of them. So he's doing good. He's picked it up really quick. He's a smart dude, and has played really well. I'm excited.
One last comment here from Blake Bortles after practice yesterday. We mentioned the fact that the window's getting tighter against an improved defense. Blake was asked if that improvement helps the offense get better.
They've gotten better, obviously upgraded in some spots and made some improvements. So it's only going to challenge us. You know, it creates competition on their side of the ball as well as on ours because we got to go against it every day. And nobody wants to lose or look bad. So I think it's only going to make our team better. And it's been fun to go against so far.
Yesterday they did a lot of tight stuff, red zone, and then inside the 15, 7-on-7. Pretty cool to watch. A lot of really competitive, both sides getting their pass breakup or a touchdown. So I think that'll just raise the bar even more.
Can we see them have some success running it down tight? That's the question, right? Three rushing touchdowns last year. You don't want to have to be in a situation where you got to go five wide on the goal line all the time. Sometimes you want that matchup down there, and they've got some big guys that they can throw at you. With Mercedes added to the list with Julius Thomas and Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns down there. Could be interesting, some of the combinations they could throw at you. There you go, some of the sounds from practice yesterday. Nathaniel Hackett, Jaguars quarterbacks coach, and, of course, your quarterback, Blake Bortles. What you got?
He made it even better. He put the off-brand mayonnaise, and now he's got the crying Jordan.
Oh, he's got – that's good. So Kevin Dyson is crying Jordan, and that is some serious off-brand mayo that he's going with there. Others had offered up, of course, the classic Titans real mayonnaise, which was nice. We appreciate that, made by Tim, and one or two others may have tweeted that. Duval Doom threw a couple of shots of the kind of, what would you call them, Tony, the fathead-style cutouts,
yeah,
right, of the Titans brand mayo. But I kind of almost prefer the one that Apocalyptic Mike went with there. It just looks like cheap, generic mayo. You know, when you're a kid, if you shop at the discount stores with your mom, that's what they had. That was the good stuff at the discount store.
The great value mayo.
Don't think I've never been in a great value situation, all right, in my life.
No doubt.
And Crying Jordan puts it over the top as well. Nicely played. Maybe we just need to have a good old Jaguar Photoshop contest one of these days. Save that one for when I get back.
Yeah. That point in your life when you're looking to save 10 cents on mayonnaise.
Right? You know? Seriously. Seriously. It's important. Every dime counts, man, when you're trying to save for your first pair of shoes.
Just stock up your mayo packets when you go buy your dandy sandwiches.
That really is the way to
do it.
You know?
How about that transition,
Mike?
How do you like
that? And it really, my last line was not going to be make yours a dandy today. It really was going to be mayo sold separately. But you had to go and blow it for me. All right, Tyler Devitt. Coming back, we'll take a look at the poll we ran today for this state in not for this state in football, for the question of the day, brought to you by the Tom Bush family of automobile dealerships. Which player from the 2013 draft class starts more games this year for the Jags? Straightforward, Luke Jokel or Jonathan Cyprian. We'll discuss that and look at the early poll results. You can vote over the course of the next day, and we'll update you if we remember. We often forget to update you on the poll the next day, but that's how we roll on Jaguars Today, right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Hey, DJ Sticks, can you give us the playlist? What are we listening to right here?
This is the Smashing Pumpkin smash hit from the late 90s called Mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise! There you go. I'm not as well-versed with the cartoon series Doug, apparently, as I should have been, but apparently there's a character named Patty Mayonnaise that's featured in Doug. And who was that, Josh, on Twitter, at Vault Dweller 101? He substituted. Did I even recognize? I don't even know if I noticed that he substituted Doug's head for Kevin Dyson's head. Maybe that was a second run through. But he had Patty Mayonnaise in his hand instead of the football, stretching it out.
That's not bad. The creativity is getting really good on these.
Some Adam, speaking of creativity, at Adam Creative, did the football with in the shape of the football, but just like it's a mayo jar, but in the shape of a football, but it's helmets. I can tell it's helmets.
Yes.
Way too expensive for those hillbillies to be buying the helmets. Tony, please do explain the significance of the mayo, because Al Stewart, and I'm sure he's not alone, said, "Pardon my ignorance, what is the joke with the Titans and the mayonnaise. First of all, it's no joke.
I asked that during the break.
Deadly serious. Okay. Yeah, deadly serious.
Ryan was looking at us like fools here for the last like half hour.
Man, they're really going on a riff on this mayo stuff.
We're giggling over Kevin Dyson holding mayonnaise jars in the Super Bowl. Look, I don't know exactly where it started. I'm sure there are Jaguars fans out there who can pinpoint where the whole thing started, but for whatever reason, Jaguars fans have decided that Tennessee Titans fans eat mayonnaise.
There was some picture going around of an actual Titan fan on a bus eating straight out of the jar, right?
I don't know if that's where it started, but there's this joke now going on that Titans fans eat mayonnaise like it's a snack.
Gotcha.
Like it's not with anything. They just spoon it out and eat it like it's something to do. Which
is this at all related to the hot dog
weird.
Being a sandwich or not?
I don't think so.
Is this two separate entities? Jaguar
fans got to get a new hobby.
Hey, you know what? That's what they got right now, man. They dominate Twitter with all the good mayo jokes, and we appreciate them. We'll send out a couple of T-shirts to a couple of our most creative Photoshoppers today. That's a good idea, though. I think we have sometime a pre-2016 kickoff Photoshop contest for the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think all you little computer hackers out there can get in on that. Today we asked a simple poll question. Guys from the Tom Bush family of dealerships, which 2013 draft pick starts more games for the Jags this year? Luke Jokel, Jonathan Cyprian. I'm going to guess you're going to say Jonathan Cyprian or Ryan.
I will. I think he it's his strong safety spot to lose. They've been encouraged by how he's adjusting to new role. We'll see in preseason games if he tackles better. But I think it would be Cyprian.
I think it's a reasonable question, I think, because he has underperformed. And I do think they'll let Sample compete, although it may be, like you said, head start for Cyprian. He's the entrenched guy. I think the Jokel aspect, Tony, he could play one of two positions. We don't know how Beecham's going to be. And if Beecham's not ready to start the season, Jokel probably starts as the left tackle. Does he eventually get a chance to move inside or at least compete for that left guard spot? Hard to say, but you could see him, even if he isn't the starter somewhere, the primary backup at several positions potentially on the offensive line. Who would you vote for, Jokel or Cyprian, to start more games?
Probably Cyprian, because I feel more sure that he's going to be the opening day starter than I do with Luke Jokel, whether it be at left tackle or left guard for this football team. I certainly get the feeling that Beecham's going to be the starting left tackle.
Me too.
That's the direction it feels like it's going. So do I think, even with what we've heard in the last week and a half or so, is Luke Jokel really the best answer for this team at left guard? I'm not sure. And I'm not sure that you can just stick him in the lineup and expect him to be successful early on in the year, putting him in that kind of position if he's not going to have really any practice time doing it until they get into training camp. And when is Beecham going to be available to him in training camp are big questions, too. So because I feel better about Cyprian being the starter from day one, I'll say Sip.
It's a sunk cost as far as Luke Jokel goes, Ryan, right? I mean, so any chance in your mind that he's not on the roster, or do you don't see that going that far?
If he's not on the roster, it's because of a trade. I don't think they have anything to gain by cutting him because he is guaranteed that money.
Right, and he started a lot of games. He's got experience, blah, blah, blah.
But, like, you know, who saw any of the trades they've made on the horizon?
Right. You don't know until it happens.
Yeah, if Beecham comes back and is healthy and ready to go, but Jokel has impressed in his snaps at left tackle, a team may be desperate. Say, okay, we got no time and nobody. Here's a pick.
Yeah,
I think that would be of all the scenarios probably the least likely. But stranger things have happened.
I will go grudgingly with Cyprian on this one as well. I'm not convinced that he starts, you know, certainly the whole season. I could see, you know, if he struggles early by week five when the bye week comes, I could see a shift happening potentially. Now, hey, look, I hope he plays well. I hope Luke Jokel plays well, for that matter, in any opportunities he gets. I think you've swayed me this morning. Most people are swayed that Cyprian will be the guy, at least the ones voting so far. Cyprian 76%, Luke Jokel 24%, 125 votes in. You can cast yours if you haven't already. Go to @MD_1010XL. Very creative Photoshoppers. We appreciate one and all. Jaguars Twitter remains stronger than any other Twitter presence on the web. Twitter.
On the Duval Ford text line for the 329. My stepdad used to eat mayo out of the jar, and now he lives in Nashville. How fitting.
It really is fitting, and that's a true story. See, you think this is a joke. It's a true story about the eating habits of the Nashvillians. up there. All right, that does it for us today. Let's see, unless there's anything. That does it for us. I don't want to go scrolling back through and find the one text I thought I might mention before it was all said and done. Thanks to Derek Schultz from Fox Sports 97.5 up in Indianapolis. Thanks to Ron O'Halloran for writing a story about the Jags on the bubble roster, or the roster bubble, I guess would be the case. Go check that out in the Florida Times Union online at jacksonville.com/sports. Glad we could hear from Nathaniel Hackett, Blake Bortles, just a smidge from Devon House today. And that pretty much wraps it all up for us. So we'll be back over at Everbank. It appears tomorrow as the Jags will be back what we think will likely be their final OTA day if things go according to plan. Likely have Friday canceled, but we'll know that officially at some point tomorrow. Stick around. The Midday Chalk is coming up. For Ryan O'Halloran, for Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey. That does it for us. Thanks to Metro Rooter, our Wednesday sponsor. Don't forget, for any size plumbing job, residential plumbing, that's your house, obviously, your business, industrial plumbing, septic systems, you name it, Metro Rooter can handle the job with same-day service, weekends included. The right people with the right equipment is what makes Metro Rooter so successful, serving Jacksonville and the surrounding area since 1978. MetroRooter.com is the website. 695-1911, 695-1911, the number for Metro Rooter, our Wednesday sponsor of Jaguars today. Mike Dempsey for all the aforementioned, including Tyler Devitt and Joe Fortunato, signing off. We'll see you tomorrow right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
You guys have a good day. Peace.